Amen.
Excited to be here? Are you sure? Yeah. All right. Well, I'm excited that you are here.
It's good to see you on this cold morning. Are y'all liking this weather? Yes. Did y'all like the sunshine we had last week? Yeah. So this is kind of cold again, right? I'm ready for sunshine to be all the time, aren't y'all? All right. So what is happening this week? Does anybody know what maybe special day it is this week, Clara? Valentine's. Okay. Who loves Valentine's? Why do you like Valentine's? Why do you like Valentine's?
Because it's fun spending your time with your family.
With your family, that's right. You can pass out candy. Yes.
You can share others the Holy Spirit.
You're absolutely very good, Ollie. That's right. So Valentine's is a day that we set apart, and it helps us. It's just a reminder that we need to tell people that we love them, right? And so are y'all having a Valentine party at school or anything? Yeah? Do you have Valentine's ball? Yes? You are? You already had a Super Bowl party? Are you having a Super Bowl party? All right. All right. So Valentine's is just a fun day that you can do all kinds of fun things and give candy to your friends. But we can also do other kind of things, right? So do you ever maybe give a stuffed animal? I bought a little stuffed animal. He's got little hearts on him, right? Does this show somebody you love him if you gave him a stuffed animal? Yeah, okay. Would you hold on to that for me for just a minute? Okay, so what about if you gave somebody some flowers? Does that say I love you?
Yes,
yes it does, doesn't it?
Don't do that at school.
Okay. So giving flowers is a way to say I love you, right? Clara, can you hold that for me for a minute? Okay, and then how about, we already talked about this. How about giving somebody a heart-shaped box of candy? I know. This one has a sweet smiley face on it, right? So, no, you can't eat it. I don't think there's enough pieces in there. I think there's, four pieces in here now? So would you hold that for me? Okay, and then how about, do you ever give cards? Do you ever just make a card? Yeah, I made this little card this morning, and guess what I forgot to do? I forgot to sign it. Oh, I forgot to sign my card, because it's important that we know who the card is from. Yeah, it is. Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I cut out my heart and kind of had some stickers. You like it? Yeah, so you can give a card. And that shows love, right? So all of these things, candy, flowers, stuffed animals, cards, all show love for one another, right? But do you know that I received a Valentine one time? It's the greatest Valentine ever. Do you know what it is? It's a cross. Does that look like a Valentine? It does, doesn't it? It kind of does, doesn't it? It doesn't have a heart on it, right? But it does because Jesus was there, right? Did Jesus go to the cross for us? Did he love us so much that he willingly went to the cross and said, I am willing to give my life for you because I want to spend eternity with you? So is this the greatest Valentine we could ever have? It is, isn't it? And we can give all those fun stuff, and we can do all this, give flowers and candy and stuffed animals. But you know what? You can do the greatest gift you can give someone is telling them about who? Jesus, that's right. You need to tell others about Jesus. Because do we want them to know the greatest love? We do.
We want them to know that while we're all here.
While we're here, that's right.
People that we don't know, that doesn't mean we can't give them love.
That's right. We need to love one another, right? And it says in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, right? That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus loves us so much that he died on that cross for us. And that is the greatest love that anybody can ever give. Did you know that? Isn't that amazing? So do you think Jesus wants Valentine from us?
Yes.
Yeah. So what can we give him? What can we give him?
Love.
Donuts.
Donuts.
We can give him donuts. Yeah. We don't need to tell him, we don't need to give him a stuffed animal, we don't need to give him flowers, we don't need to give him a card, we need to give him a heart. And we need to tell him that we love him. Do you know?
And
yes.
You also have to think
being kind, that's right. So when we give our heart to Jesus and we accept him, we accept that greatest love of all. And it is with us from now to eternity. So do we want that greatest gift of all? Yes, and who is the greatest gift? Who is the greatest love of all? Jesus. Can y'all say Jesus for me?
Jesus.
All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that you love us, and I thank you for these boys and girls that are here today, and I thank you that you willingly went to the cross for us, and that great love was on that cross for each one of us, and that you care about what's going on in our lives, and you care about us so deeply that you love us so much, and we thank you for that great love. Lord, just bless our day in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go. Can you carry that?
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Once again, glad to have you worshiping with us online. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into the service through our app. Several things on the calendar. Next Sunday night at 6 p.m. at First Methodist Church, we will have our annual charge conference, our area-wide charge conference, and our elder Richard Jones will be leading that. So that's next Sunday night at 6 at First Methodist Church. Also, the 23rd is the Saturday the 23rd is the women's event, so ladies, go ahead and continue to sign up for that. You can do that through the app, or you can scan the QR code and insert in your bulletin and get signed up. Also, Ash Wednesday is March the 5th. It can be. It is. Check the calendar. It's March the 5th. Easter's right around the corner, so we'll have our annual Ash Wednesday service here in the sanctuary at 7 that night. Let's stand, if you're able, and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I think most of you are probably aware that we have 24/7 prayer going on for our community. And a number of churches has chosen a day to pray around the clock. And our day is the 10th, which is tomorrow. And that prayer time actually starts at midnight tonight and runs through midnight tomorrow night. And we have one slot I need to try to fill. There were two slots. And one of those slots was a 3 a.m. to 3:30 a.m., and somebody grabbed that during the early service. And so if anybody would like to cover that 8 to 8:30 a.m. slot, that would be awesome. So I'm looking for anybody that's stirred to do that. Robert Mills? Well, I tell you what, why don't you both cover that, okay? I'll get you guys on the list, and I'll get information to you. So thank you both for that. And you know, I guess the question is, are we making a difference by praying for our community? I think we are. I shared several months ago that there was an article that came out back in March of last year, I believe, that HGTV rated Abilene, Texas as one of the top 4 or 5 up-and-coming communities in the state of Texas. And then you've probably seen over the last month or so this new Stargate initiative, this artificial intelligence initiative, that it's a $500 billion project that the government is heavily supporting, and they were looking for a place to just launch it. And Abilene, Texas is the launching pad for that initiative, which just blows me away. Little bitty Abilene. Why Abilene, Texas? And I just wonder, and I told the early crowd, you know, I'm just naive enough to believe that because we've been praying, God's favor is resting on our community. What more does he want to do? And so we have an incredible privilege to pray into this. And, you know, man, just, I don't know, with the Lord, the sky's the limit with him. So this morning I want to pray for our community, and I wanted you to join me in prayer. And I'm going to pray through the prayer points that our community-wide prayer leader has asked us to pray through. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're just astounded at what you can do and the way that you seem to be able to supernaturally highlight individuals and churches and communities. And it looks like you have, for your glory, you have highlighted Abilene, Texas. And Father, we need to be good stewards of what you're doing here, what you want to do in our community. And Father, I want to pray for a spiritual awakening here. Obviously, business-wise, the business community, God, there's lots of things happening, lots of good things happening. But Father, at the end of the day, if lives are not altered, lives are not changed, it's just stuff. There's no eternal consequences here. So Father, we just pray for salvation to come to those who need Jesus. Lord, I just pray for a heightened awareness of his goodness in our community. Lord, I just pray that people are drawn to the cross, drawn to churches. Father, would you bring that about in our day for your glory? God, I lift up the city and school leadership. And Father, I just pray for humility for our city leaders. It's easy for them to take the credit for what you're doing. But God, I just pray that they're humble before you. And they recognize, God, that your sovereign hand is moving in our community. Lord, I lift up the school leadership. There's lots of unknowns coming up in the future about school choice and whatnot. God, I pray that you give them wisdom and encouragement. I pray for the teachers who, my goodness, on the front lines, they need a touch from you. They need encouragement. And I pray for the students, Lord, that, God, that they will know that they have a sense of purpose. Gosh, they got so much stuff coming at them. And, God, I just pray for freedom for them to know that that you love them. Father, I thank you for the unity that we experience between pastors and churches. God, I pray that deepen. And Lord, I know there may be some churches and pastors on the fringe, but God, I just pray for the day that everybody just rallies under the banner of the cross. And God, we pursue you as one. There's power in oneness. Lord, I lift up our community in regard to racial reconciliation and healing, Lord. I just pray against that ugly racism that rears its ugly head, Father. I just look forward to the day, God, not only in eternity, but on this side of eternity, that every tribe, tongue, and nation and color of individuals are worshiping you together. And Lord, I just thank you for our community is a community that values life. And Lord, I just thank you for Pregnancy Resources and the other organizations that fight for life. And I just pray, God, that all life is protected through every stage of life. Lord, I pray for reconciliation for families that are struggling, Lord. I pray for marriages that you strengthen those. Lord, I just pray that the family unit is strong. Lord, I pray for those children that are struggling in that environment. And Lord, just for your glory, move in power. Oh, Father, you're so, so good to us, so kind and loving and gracious and merciful. We adore you this morning. Pour your spirit out on us, Father, as we continue to seek you through worship and through the word. And we love you for who you are, and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Just thank you, church, so much for your financial faithfulness. You can continue to give online or the offering boxes by the doors. If you have a prayer request and you would like to submit that this morning, you can also drop those in the offering box. Also, we'll have several people available for prayer after the service, Robert Mills and Marv. I believe Marv's going to step in and help Robert. And so please take advantage of that. Let's continue to worship.
Washed in blood. stand in Him complete. Jesus died.
Good morning again, church. If you are our guest here this morning, we're really glad you're here. We love guests. Hope that you love us enough to not be a guest anymore, be part of our church. If you are our guest this morning, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. You certainly don't have to do that, but would love for you to do that. And I'll be at this end of the foyer after church and would love to get to know you. You can bring that card with you. Have a free gift for our guests. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 2. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. It's interesting. Paul is writing this under the inspiration of the Spirit, and it's been 14 years since he's experienced this, and he's just writing it down. Whether it be in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. Don't you love that? Paul's, he's saying, I'm not going to boast, but if I were to boast, I got some things to boast about here. But I refrain, Paul says, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul goes on to say, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So continuing the sermon series, the upside down kingdom, God's kingdom, he flips everything from the way the world works to the way his kingdom is. He flips it on its head. Today's message is strength through weakness. Our culture says you want to be strong, you be strong. You suck it up, you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you try harder. But in God's kingdom, there's strength through weakness. This passage today, he's talking about this. Paul is basically saying that I've been given this vision, and I'm paraphrasing here. I'm kind of putting myself maybe in Paul's shoes here. I think he's basically saying, how many of y'all have had a vision like I've just had? I've had this vision, and I could boast about it, but I've been given this thorn in the flesh to keep me from becoming conceited about this revelation, this vision that I've gotten from you, Lord. And I remember when I think of thorns, I remember several years ago, before I was a pastor, many years ago, I was in my home church, and we had a new pastor come into town, and that church had a parsonage. And so this particular pastor, this is the first time that a pastor had been my age, and I this was many years ago. And I remember thinking, man, I really want to meet this pastor and perhaps get to know him and maybe be friends with him, which has happened over the last several decades. His name was Craig, and Craig he and his family were moving into the parsonage that day, and several of us from the church met over at the parsonage to help them unload their stuff and to bring it into the home. And I remember when we got there, Craig had this bandage on his hand, a big whopping bandage on his hand, and he could not help with anything. If you knew Craig, that was very frustrating for him. And we moved all the stuff in, and Craig, he basically, about all he could do was point, now this goes there or whatever. And I remember later when we finished, I said, so what's up with the hand? What happened? And he said, I got a mesquite thorn. Now, growing up in this area, I don't know how many mesquite thorns. I used to go barefooted all the time. Any other kids go barefooted, run around the neighborhood barefooted? I don't know how many mesquite thorns I pulled out of my feet over the years. And never, that was, I mean, it hurt, but it was never a problem like that. And he said, yeah, that it got into the bloodstream and I've got an infected finger. And he ended up unwrapping his bandage. His finger was at least twice the size of normal. And he ended up ultimately having to have surgery where they had to go in there and open up that finger and drain the finger and to allow it to heal up. This thorn, very frustrating for Craig. I'm sure he didn't know why, you know, everybody, lots of people get mesquite thorns. Why mine get infected? Why can I not help even move my own stuff? We all have thorns. As we think about this, I've thought many times about this passage. I know theologians over the centuries have wondered, what was Paul's thorn? We don't know, but I believe that it could have been any number of things, basically to keep Paul humble. So probably even a more important question is, what thorns do we have in our life? And we're going to talk a little bit about thorns and what they mean in as we talk about God's kingdom. But I just listed a few things that just kind of came to my head that possible thorns in our life. Could be a physical illness. This is by no means an all-inclusive list, but just some things. Perhaps a physical illness or laziness, pride, lust, anger, unforgiveness, complacency, greed, some sort of an addiction, fear, any number of things that thorns in our lives that we may not be fans of the thorn. We're going to talk more about that. But they typically, thorns have a purpose in God's kingdom. So let's just dive in and let's talk a little more about that. In God's upside down kingdom, church, thorns keep us humble. Thorns keep us humble. This, again, Paul is, he could have been, it's so easy to think he could have been saying to people, I bet you haven't had a vision like that. I've had a vision like that. It could have been so easy for him to puff his chest out and be prideful about that. But instead, he says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. If you've been here for a while, you've heard me talk probably many, many times about the transition from my prior world of computers to the ministry. And there was that year and a half or so in between that was, I see now, was a thorn. And you've heard me talk about this. At that particular time, in that year and a half where things were not happening that I thought should have happened, that I thought God had promised me was going to happen, they weren't happening. I got frustrated. And I said this morning, I've said many times that I went for my annual jog, but that's when I think about it, really, it's more of a kind of a decade jog rather than an annual. And that's really stretching it, right, Cheryl? A decade jog is stretching it. But so I was so frustrated because my hand was wrapped in a bandage and I couldn't do what I needed to do. And I remember I had no association with this church at the time. Our family didn't. And I remember literally jogging on that little golf cart track right out there under these trees. And I said this, but I was scolding God. Did you know that God loves us enough to let us even scold him? God should have zapped me like an ant right there just then. But instead, he loved me. He knew where I was at. He knew what I was feeling. He knew the frustration that I was going through and confusion as to why he was not moving the way I thought he was supposed to move. But it didn't take this long, but now that was around 24 years ago. And I, with perspective now in the future from that moment, I can look and I go, that was a thorn. that God was teaching me. He was keeping me humble. He was showing me that I'm all you have. I'm all you have. And this passage today, that it says that Paul, three times he pleaded with the Lord to take this thorn from him. Three times he pleaded. Can you hear the desperation there? Whatever this thorn was, Paul's pleading with the Lord. And I put myself out there on that track. Lord, where are you? I trusted you. I've put my family at risk here. We've prayed. We've listened. We've been trying to follow you. Where are you? And I've said it before, but God spoke very gently and lovingly to my heart and said, Hatcher, I'm breaking you. I'm breaking you. This thorn that you're seeing right now, I'm keeping you humble. I'm molding you. And it says, and so Paul, three times Paul pleaded with the Lord that it would be taken from him. And listen to this. But then he says in verse 10, but for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. Now, I delight in insults. How many of us, when somebody insults us, we go, yoo-hoo, I'm going to delight in that. Paul had learned what we see and what we're feeling. Feelings deceive us. What we're feeling in our circumstances. I was telling the early service, I don't know, this just came to my mind in the early service. I had never even thought of it before, but it's like you see the ducks on the water and they're just like, yeah, I'm cool. Underneath, they're working it. God is at work. We may not know it, may not see it. God's at work in our life. That moment when I'm on the track and I'm scolding God, God was at work. Paul says, because I know the purpose. I know that this thorn is necessary. For Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults. I delight in hardships. I delight in persecutions, in difficulties. I delight in them because I know what's happening here. Paul had learned that, which leads me and ties right into the second point I want to make here. In God's upside down kingdom, thorns prompt reliance upon God and produce growth. Prompt reliance upon God and produce growth. And there it is. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me. Lord, Paul is saying, Lord, this thorn hurts. Anybody ever been there? This hurts. What I'm feeling right now, what I'm experiencing right now, it hurts. Take it from me. Another story in that transition from computer to ministry, and you've heard me talk about this. This was my chips and salsa moment. But I was in that same. It was in that same season where the jog and I'm just. I told the Lord, and it wasn't a pouty kind of thing. It was just like, I'm not going to eat again until I hear from you. That's how desperate I was. I'm not going to eat again until I hear from you, Lord, because I was desperate to hear from the Lord to see what are you doing here, Lord? Please. And He led me. In that season, He led me. I've kind of told the story, but Cheryl, I'd been fasting for several days, and Cheryl made Mexican food for lunch that day and had chips and salsa, and that's my kryptonite. Amen. And I saw that, and I'm like, okay, I grabbed my Bible and I said, and I had been eating for several days with friends. We'd go out to eat and I'd have a glass of tea and watch them eat. And I never once was hungry, but I, when those chips and salsa came out, I wanted me some chips and salsa. So I go to the bedroom and I took my Bible and I literally just went. And here's, it opened up to Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. And man, it was like salve to an open wound. It was, God was literally just washing over me. And I expected, you've heard me say, I was expecting and thinking, as I, Lord, I'm not eating until I hear from you. I'm expecting him to go,
move to Africa.
You know, that's kind of, you didn't know God sounded like, you know, that. But I'm thinking something really wild and exotic and crazy. And yet what the Lord said was, trust me, I got this. I got this. In a couple of verses on, if you keep reading there, Proverbs 3, it's, I think it's about verse 7 or 8. Then he says, if you trust in me with all your heart and lean not on understanding, I'll make your path straight and I'll bring nourishment to your bones. And I'm certain two things. Number one is because I was really hungry. And number two, I'm certain the Lord was saying, now go have some chips and salsa. Did you know that God even cares about us wanting to have chips and salsa? Thorns prompt reliance upon God and they produce growth. And I'm telling you, I know I've told that story many, many times. Those are seasons in my own personal life where God has used thorns to mold me, to grow me, to teach me to rely upon him. And I hope that he uses them in your life as well. James, our men's Bible study, studied James not that long ago, and in James 1:2 says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. And not many of us go, woohoo, another trial, I love this. Because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Thorns prompt reliance upon God, and they produce growth in our life. Now, here's the deal. Thorns are painful. Yes? Man, I'm telling you, Cheryl and I talk about this all the time. We wouldn't want to go back and relive those couple of years for anything in the world. No. It was not fun. But we wouldn't take anything for those years, what God was doing in our lives. And that leads me to the third point. In God's upside-down kingdom, thorns demonstrate God's power. When we have those thorns, and when we trust him in the midst of the thorn, whatever it is in our life that we're struggling with, he demonstrates his power. And I've said this to you before, but it's just, it's again, it's part of the story. 24 years ago out there on that track, I had no association with this church, our family didn't, and I had no idea that just a few feet behind these glass windows was God's answer. I don't think it was a coincidence that's where, right out there was where I was scolding God. And it was almost, I could have literally picked up a rock and thrown it and hit his answer. How he was going to demonstrate his power. You guys, it's been one of the honors and blessings of my life to be the pastor of this church. And verse 9 and 10 of this passage today, Paul is pleading. Instead of, at first, he's not focused on the growth that comes in this moment. He's saying, please take this thorn away from me. And the Lord said to him, hey, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power, God says, is made perfect in your weakness. And then there's that magic word, therefore. Because Paul finally gets it. He finally gets what God is trying to teach him through the thorn. Therefore, God says, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul writes, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power will rest on me. When I am weak, then I am strong. I've told this before. It's been a while, but people in some countries eat monkeys as part of their diet, just like cattle or chickens or whatever it is in our diet. And many of them have the hunters. It's why most of the monkeys are wild, and the hunters have this ingenious way of catching them. They take a gourd and they put a precisely sized hole. They know exactly how big to make it, and they hollow it out and they secure it to the ground, and they put fruit and nuts and food in the gourd, and they get back in the bushes and wait. And the monkeys smell the food and they come and they put their hand through that precise sized hole and it fits, and they grab hold of the food, and their fist that's full now can't get out, and they begin to scream. And that's when the hunters come in, and it's supper time. All these little monkeys have to do, the difference between life and death, is to let go. You let go, they live. You hold on, it doesn't turn out well. You know, as I'm preaching this morning, I'm very aware that God is probably spinning some things around in your head. Maybe all of us, or some of us, or most of us. This is your thorn right now. This is something that you're fearful of, or unforgiveness, or some kind of illness, some kind of addiction in your life. And our culture and our world says, try harder. Read this book. Take this pill. Go to this counselor. Try harder to overcome. And what God is saying is, let go. Let go. My power, God says, is made perfect in your, not your strength, but in your weakness. One of the greatest prayers I think we can pray is, Lord, help me. Three words. Lord, help me. I can't. I'm powerless against this thorn. I'm powerless from this addiction. And God would say, let go. Let me demonstrate my power in your weakness. So if you'd just bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you that we can trust in you with all our heart because you love us. We give us the courage, Lord, to be weak before you, not to be strong, but to be weak before you, to surrender whatever thorn is in our life, whatever we struggle with. Maybe it's the loss of a job. Maybe it's some health thing. Maybe it's financial, just fear. Maybe it's brokenness in a family, relationships that are important to you. Father, we cry out, help us in our weakness. We give us that courage to be weak so that Christ's power may rest on us, so that these issues may be resolved, may be dealt with. God, thank you that you tell us very plainly your power is made perfect in our weakness. Show us how. Give us the courage. Show us how to be weak before you. pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we close today, I invite you to rise if you're able as we worship. The altar rail is open. Perhaps you want to just symbolically come into the altar, symbolically releasing those things in your life, those thorns in your life. There will also be people to pray with you at the end of the service. To picture any kind of struggle in your life, maybe it's just sadness, whatever it is, I want you to picture it like a fist. Whatever that is, come on, don't be afraid. I'm not going to make you do any, you know, funny things or anything. Make a fist. I want you to picture that in your fist, that thorn. Jesus say, let go. Do it. Give it to you, Jesus. We have a Savior that loves us and wants to take our thorns and demonstrate His power in our weakness. That's good news. Go and tell someone. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.